Hey, hey, what's up, everyone? It's Friday, yo, March 8th, 2024. Welcome to Midwest Super Pixel Pros, where we all abide by the Pixel Pro mantra, don't suck. I'm your new Ultimate Pixel Pro Champion, Dale. As always, joined alongside Paul. What is up, Paul?
Yo.
Katie will be joining us in progress during the show today. She is wrapping up a couple of things, and she will be here shortly. We are also joined today on the show by our returning special guest. It's been a while since we had him on, but let's give a hearty drum roll welcome to my bro, Joe.
Well, thank you, Dale.
Yo, Joe.
Yo, yo.
What's up?
Not much. Wearing this Toe Jam and Earl shirt.
Oh, gosh. I wish we were playing Toe Jam and Earl today, but we got some other special Genesis classics lined up today because, yeah, we're going to have you on about a month ago, but we couldn't make it work out last minute, but glad to have you on today. We'll be introducing him here a little bit later. Do you guys know what... actually, I guess before we jump too far, we should... I want to give thanks to something cool going on this weekend, but before we do, I got to give thanks to our awesome friends at the River Cinema and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make them your next dinner and a movie destination. They're both located in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. You can either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant in the Shire or take your meal to go to the movie you're attending if you want to mix it up from your standard popcorn fare. Some of this week's featured attractions are Dune Part 2, which Paul and I saw last weekend and really freaking loved.
Yeah, badass
movie.
Yes,
yes.
It was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Bob Marley, One Love, Madam Web, Argyle, Wonka, and so many more. You can find the complete showtimes online, rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the senior matinee special, $5.50 matinees on Wednesdays and Thursdays for senior. As you can see in the video behind me, the River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages, and it's family-owned and operated. So check them out, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Okay, do you guys know what special day it is this weekend? This just started like maybe 3 years ago, and it's all because of freaking Star Wars. People have to have their own. So you remember when Star Wars did their special day? They started it, what, like several years ago?
Mm-hmm.
May the 4th be with you day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Nintendo started about 3 years ago? March 10th, and if you put them next to each other, it's Mario Day. Substitute the one with an I. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh,
yeah, so Nintendo does all kinds of promotions. They're doing sales on Mario games, or if you're playing Mario games on certain days, you can sign up for some promotional offers. I know some places in town that are doing Mario Kart tournaments to celebrate Mario Day. So, yeah. So, I'm just curious if this has been crossing your... has been as ubiquitous as... if it's at the level... I don't think it's on the level of May the 4th be with you, but has it been on your radar at all, on social media at all?
No, I don't even get it.
No, March 10th, just put MAR10. At a quick glance, it looks like Mario.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I don't know if it's related, but Half Brothers is doing this live music thing this Saturday, which I believe is the 10th.
Oh, yep.
And they're doing Mario Kart after and before.
Oh, that could be, yeah. I saw a few places in town are doing Mario Kart promotions, yeah.
I thought it was really weird. I'm like, so you're doing Mario Kart before and after a music event? And I'm like, that's kind of odd.
Well, it's at Half Brothers?
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing Beer Kart?
Beer cart. Oh, my
that
gosh.
Make more sense.
Yeah. Paul, you should enlighten. I think we did it once after hours, one show. We did like a little post gaming session, but you should enlighten everyone what beer cart is for the uninitiated.
Oh, it's a real fun, simple game and really shows you how drinking and driving really affects your performance. So everybody cracks a beer at the very beginning of the race. You have to finish your beer by the time the race is done, but anytime you take a drink, you have to put your controller down. And so some people just try to slam their beer right at the beginning and then just get through all the way through the track, or they try to get right to the finish line and then slam their beer. Otherwise, people are trying to sip it throughout, but depending on your strategy, it's... Nope.
So many different strategies people can go it all, sip it, take little breaks. What option is best?
Well, after six races, you start to realize that you're driving into walls.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, that would be like six beers in like 40-ish minutes, 30.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Oof. Are we doing Rainbow Road each time?
Yeah. No. But so many thanks for everyone having us part of your Friday. You can normally tune in live every Friday at 2 p.m. every other Friday at 2 p.m. on gfbestsource.com or on our social media channels on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Join in the conversation in the live chat. We want to hear what you guys have to say, whether it be about March 10th Mario Day or some of the old school Genesis games we're going to be playing later on in the show. Couple quick opening news items. So, I don't know if you've been following up. One of the new releases I'll be touching on later in the show when we do our new releases, Final Fantasy VII. You've been keeping up with the remake they've been doing? All new graphics, all new gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're dividing it in three parts in the releases because they're like, if, for those that played Final Fantasy VII originally, you remember the whole Midgar part was pretty much the whole first CD. That's the entire first Final Fantasy VII remake installment. They made it its own game, and it's like about 100 hours of gameplay. They added so much new content to it. And part two just came out this week. It's called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's the whole middle chunk of the game when you get into the open world. And from what I'm hearing, it's like another 100 hours of gameplay. They added so much new side quests and stuff. But they just announced this week that the whole Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy is going to be exclusive to PlayStation consoles.
Of course.
Yeah. But I guess they did say they used some elusive alluding to terminology that, you know, to consoles. And didn't say anything about computer. So there, it sounds like there may be a chance that may be coming out on computer like several months to a year after the fact. So as you know, as Jim Carrey would say, there's still a chance you could play it elsewhere. But
it technically,
you know,
I remember
Xbox Switch owners, that's a buzzkill for them.
Oh, 100%. I do remember though, like this would have been like 5+ years ago, they re-released it on Steam, and that was good.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did. I know they've released some of the older games on Switch and Xbox. Yeah. Like that Crisis Core remaster, I think, came out on Xbox. And like the PS1 games, I think, came out on all systems.
You know what's dumb is I have a gaming computer, and I don't even play games on it.
No, I hear you there.
I got Steam, I got everything, and it's brand new build, brand new gaming computer, and
yeah.
I don't do anything on it.
I just got a new laptop. I haven't even installed Steam on it yet. That's a travesty.
It's odd, but with gaming, it's like there's a lot of good old school games that are still good to their
I mean,
origins.
I could hook it up to my 70-inch in my basement and just, you know, have a great time, but I'm too lazy.
No, I hear you. I guess for me, PC gaming is like when I was huge into it, Dale might remember this. So like right out of high school, I would always be the one with computer issues. It's like, oh, your hard drive went out. And like this was like with Newegg and stuff, because like Best Buy didn't really carry just individual parts at the time. I think they don't anymore. But I would be the guy like, oh, now this thing went out. Now this thing went out. So like after a long time of just expensive parts and then, you know, not being able to play your computer and all that stuff, I just kind of got out of it. But I will say like computer gaming, like it has a lot to offer in the sense of graphics and more unique gameplay.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, if I were to actually just take the time, I'd probably have a lot more fun, you know, playing like Final Fantasy on my 70-inch as opposed to just watching the same movie that I've seen 30 times already.
But you can watch it a 31st time.
Can't go wrong.
Oh, man. Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, we got a game on tap ready to play. Joe, I always like when we have a guest on, I like to throw it to them to set up the game we're about to play here. So I think we're going to be playing one of our childhood favorites.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you set it up for the viewers out there?
There's a long, long time ago, there's The Punisher, which originally came on, not console, but it was original coin-op game, right?
Yeah, the arcade game from the early 90s, yeah. Which
we oddly played right around the corner.
Yeah,
when they saw it all the time.
You used to have arcade games here way, way back.
Yep, it was a very small arcade, but my mom would bring us all to get like haircuts and stuff. And be like, here's some quarters, or we'd save them. And we'd just like go there and play Punisher all the time.
Yeah, I don't remember an arcade being in here.
They had a small one. I want to say that it was only maybe like not even 5 years, 3 to 5 years they had it, where it was right at the corner, when you round about the corner heading to O for Heaven's Cakes. That's where they had it. Now, I want to say they only really had like maybe 7 or 8 arcade machines in there, maybe a pinball machine.
Very few.
Yeah, very few.
And then like one of those stereotypical like sticker machines, yeah. And then like a crane machine of some sort.
Yeah. So it was small, but it was something.
Yeah, and all the games were good, basically. Yeah. That was the odd part.
Yeah.
And then many years later, they ended up putting it on Genesis, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
And this is so much.
This is still, it's still fun, but, you know, obviously a lot of games, you know, they're not going to be arcade perfect when they get scaled down to a console. But
see, my go-to was Valley Dairy over on Demers and Washington. And then That's where they have their offices now back there. I don't know if remember that.
I think I remember. They had like maybe they snuck in like two or three arcade machines back there.
Yeah, they'd have like I think they had like four or five, but yeah, they were all kind of like in a line.
I want to say that's where Joe and I grew up, just like two, maybe three blocks away from there. I know that's where I was first exposed to NBA Jam, and it blew my mind.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Oh, so many good memories.
Samurai Showdown.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. The Neo Geo. Oh, man. But we got the first game ready. Good to go here. We are going to boot it up. The Punisher on Sega Genesis. We're going to do some two-player side-scrolling. Got to pause. As you can see, one player is Punisher at the beginning of the game here. One is Nick Fury. Paul, I don't know if this controller can reach to you or if you may need to go to the Katie chair. It may reach to you. I'll do commentary for you guys because I did a practice run yesterday. I got to play a bit, so I'll do commentary over for you guys here. So you may need to hit pause to ungo here.
Maybe it's this one.
There you go. All right.
Okay, so I'm Punisher.
Jill? This one might have turned off, though.
Oh, let me see here. I forgot this one may have done an auto sleep. All right, there you go. You're good. Joe is Nick Fury. And, unfortunately, I may have to re-enlighten people here for people going, Nick Fury, I don't see him on the screen. If they're just, for you youngins who've only seen the Marvel movies, believe it or not, Nick Fury used to be white.
Yeah.
But Marvel explained it as, I'm just saying that in jest. And there actually was a Nick Fury movie with David Hasselhoff you can find on YouTube. But, yeah, this is Marvel explained as they got separate universes where they have a white Nick Fury and a black Nick Fury in the comics. But this is before when there was only one Nick Fury. So, and this is kind of released right when the Punisher comics, the first main run from the mid to late 80s was ending. And Nick Fury and Frank Castle were kind of allies and off and on allies in the comics. And yeah, this is actually... I think we all associate Capcom for making for a lot of Marvel properties, like Marvel versus Capcom games, Marvel versus Street Fighter, Marvel Super Heroes, so many classic Capcom Marvel fighting games. But this is Capcom's very first game based on a Marvel property, the Punisher arcade game, which they later ported to the Genesis here. So, Joe, this obviously the graphics are not close to the arcade original, but not playing the arcade game for many years, what does it seem pretty or Joe and Paul seem pretty close to what you remember it in the arcades?
Yeah,
visually.
Yeah, I don't remember this game too well.
It's they do not, because especially in the sense of a coin op game, they do a good sense of like if you notice when we first came out on the stage, we had guns.
Yeah,
you can get more ammo. They did a good version of like weapon and control for what it was. Because even like this baseball bat I just picked up, it's like you don't really get a. It's like, all right, instant hit on a guy.
Yeah, you get a lot more melee weapons. The parts with a gun are randomly determined when you randomly face off against opponents that have guns. So it's not, they don't want, yeah, some of the animations for some of the characters when they're running, maybe a little wonky. There you go. Classic cinematic hi-fi karate kicks into the bus. Gotta love it. Yeah. You got a mid-boss fight against Scully. And they got a nice roster of villains in here, for what were available to the Punisher at the time. Jigsaw, Bushwhacker, a couple of classic Punisher villains in here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Joe, you mentioned we played the arcade a lot. What are some of your favorite parts about playing the arcade game? I mean, I'm sure it's your standard, side-scrolling brawler, in the vein of Streets of Rage, Final Fight. But is it something that makes it stand out? Oh, you just took out Scully with a grenade there. Nice job, guys.
Oh, I thought it was because I was hitting him in the nuts a whole bunch of times.
It was a team effort, a dual effort.
It's that corner around the back, so he can't just keep on hitting you.
And then, I remember this is one thing I did not like. It took a while for me to refresher for this. If you want to figure out how to drop grenades, you got to jump in midair. Oh yeah, there you go. You get all the bonuses, but I'll wait till you're in gameplay here. Yeah, they actually got a pretty interesting story in there. This game actually has a pretty very in-depth ending than what you would think. Yeah, you're getting in the Punisher and Fury scuba dive mode. Scuba dived in the river up into a pool, a gangster lair pool. But to throw grenades, you got to jump, and then while in midair, press A and B at the same time. So it's a little wonky, but that's how you chuck grenades. You see you got grenades on the bottom there. But all kinds of power-ups.
No,
can't jump in the water.
No, it's not like The Sims. You can put your character in the water, take the ladder out, as tempting as it may be.
Right. Let me drown bad guy real quick.
Oh, my gosh. Joe, what's coming back to you playing this? This is probably your first time playing it in quite a few years.
I'd say not having to spend all the quarters.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, the arcade classic, and
oh, yeah.
If you try to find this cartridge, we're actually playing the cartridge here on a Mega SG, Analog SG, and having the FPGA emulation here intact to have as close of a authentic home experience as possible without button lag. The cartridge on eBay, it goes for a ton now.
Yep.
Yeah, but I know me and you, we bought our copies before the retro game market, like, skyrocketed.
Yeah, I mean, I still paid decent, but, like, it wasn't, like, it's doubled to tripled in price. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, you really...
How much does it cost now?
It's like 100-ish?
Well over 100, like 125.
No kidding?
Yeah.
I think maybe me and you got ours like around under 20 from before it really jumped.
I think I spent like 40 or so on mine.
But you got the complete in box.
Yeah, the complete, like, perfect condition. And
oh, yeah.
Which Dale now owns because he really wanted it and couldn't get it.
Yeah. Well, I had just the cartridge, but I think you knew how much I wanted it here. So, and you... Yeah. Made it an awesome birthday gift a couple years ago. So many, many thanks. Yeah, here you go. Random part here where you're just small bits where you're shooting. I don't know. Do you think they should have had guns in here the whole game, or is it nice limiting it in doses so you could mix it up with melee combat too?
I think it would be a little bit better if you could just like have a certain amount of rounds and then like just like the AB thing, maybe AB compared to, you know, like just sitting there, it would shoot instead.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guns aren't really overpowered. It's just... They did something unique at the time.
And I thought this was really cool, too, for the time. Like, I think other more brawlers are starting to at the time, but you see all the enemies have their own life bars, so you know how much life they have left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just such a wide variety of pickups here, too. You guys like this? Kind of got those look like those are villains right out of Dick Tracy, almost.
A little bit.
Yeah. Paul,
how do you drop a bomb?
You got to jump. And then while you're in midair, press A and B at like the zenith of your jump.
It just didn't work the last time.
It's oddly finicky to drop a grenade in this game.
And then to do the back kicks, you got to do it like the way you're looking and then up with A.
You do like flip soccer Pele kicks. Yeah. Oh. Bicycle kicks. That's the term I'm looking for. At least Nick Fury. I think Nick Fury and Puncher have...
This guy's pissing me off.
I think they have a slightly different arsenal of moves. I think for both Punisher and Nick Fury, I think if you press either A and B at the same time or A and C at the same time while you're on the ground, you do your special move, but it uses a little bit of your life, so just a heads up. Yeah, I think that leg sweep is the Punisher's special move. Forget what Nick Fury's is.
You said A and B?
I think either A and B or A and C.
Oh, I have a chain, I guess.
Oh, you got a little flamethrower. Paul, how does that flamethrower measure up to the real thing?
Not nearly as cool.
Oh, I love it.
One interesting thing, though, about the console version is depending on the difficulty you play, you get different outputs for the ending.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. If you play on easy mode, the game pretty much chastises you for it. You only get to play the first three levels, and then you get a photo of the Punisher saying, "Now play like the Punisher and play in at least normal mode to play the entire game." So it's like, how dare you play the game in easy mode? We got to take off those training wheels. So I got this in normal. I was only able to beat this game in normal once. Like, actually, I had to get myself removed from the button mashing inputs, not just button mash my way through it. And it actually was very rewarding to actually kind of...
What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
He's been programmed by the Kingpin to terminate you. Some weird-ass alien android. I have no idea. I do not remember that from the comics. But it looks like a cross between the Predator and Alien, almost. Because you got the Predator laser eyesight. You guys are doing a number on him. You're really... They're calling him Guard Droid. So that's his name there. Oh, gosh. You guys are doing a number on him. He's flashing red. He's almost there.
Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, no. Oh, you can continue, Paul. Start button. There you go. Well done. That
seems like cheating.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, you only have a few continues, so... And to beat the game, if you beat the game on, normal difficulty, which I only did once because I had to get removed from my button mashing ways. So if you just run up to opponents and button mash, they're going to do some damage and you'll run through your lives before the end of the game. Unfortunately, you cannot do unlimited lives like some other brawlers, which is nice. It kind of rewards smartly playing the game. But if you beat the game on normal, Joe, do you remember what happens?
Nope.
Well, that long. You can play through the entire game, but for the ending, it'll just say, now play like the Punisher on hard difficulty to see the true ending of the game. I was so depleted. And at that point...
That went to YouTube, I think.
Yeah, I went and saw it on YouTube. Yeah.
Because basically, like, the big thing about these games back when they came out was, like, go to a boss, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, like, get out of there. Because otherwise, you're just going to take a hit from them. Because they're kind of like tanks in most games today.
Yeah, and that was the main thing. Go in, kind of pace around the combat, go up to them, get a couple of kicks in, time it. Or sometimes, you know, the old jump kick, timing your jump kicks just right. That is... Paul, have you ever played like a brawler that way? That weren't as liberal on lives, unlimited lives, so you kind of had to like really pace yourself throughout?
Maybe Final Fight?
Final Fight, yeah. Oh gosh, Final Fight. Well, that's a classic. That really revolutionized the brawler genre.
Boo boo, Uzi. Suck it. Big guy.
There we go. Boom.
Huh? So who is your go-to on Final Fight?
It's been too long, honestly.
Guy? Hagar, the freaking brute wrestler, mayor.
Basically, it was Zangief.
Yeah, Zangief. Oh, yeah. Well, he's appeared in some of the fighting games over the years.
So. Yeah, Hagar, yep.
Yeah, I think Marvel's Capcom. He was in Saturday Night Slam Masters we played on the show.
And then Guy, I think Guy, he was the ninja, wasn't he, the red one?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Because that's what I always like. Because there was the blonde guy that looked like Zach from Saved by the Bell. And then, But then you had I think it was Guy that was in... The red, and he did a lot more, like, kick moves.
Didn't he have the weird hat, too? The farmer's hat, basically? The red farmer's hat?
No, I don't think so.
Ooh, okay. I think I'm thinking the King Fist of Furies, or the... There's so many fighting games back then. It's the one that my friend played all the time.
Apparently, Contra has a new...
A new entry just came out, yeah.
Oh, and it looks really? Like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've heard good stuff. Okay. Contra, I think, Galuga? Is Galuga Wars? Or Operation Galuga? That's it. Contra Operation Galuga. I've been hearing great things about it. Yeah
it's like a totally new retro version of it, but it looks amazing.
We'll have to check it out. Like, Contra, I think it was Contra 3 or Contra the Aliens title.
Yeah, Contra 3 the Alien Wars.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Like, awesome game.
Way better than it should be.
Mm-hmm. It pushed the Super Nintendo to its limits.
Yep, I like how they changed it so different points would be like you'd do over the top. And stuff, and I'm like, wait, what now? What am I doing? It was so unique. But on the mini SNES, I've definitely played that a bit.
Yeah, the new one, I mean, it looks like Contra 3 The Alien Wars, except the graphics are, like, completely cleaned up.
Okay. I like their repetition that they do, if that makes sense. It's like, you know, it's first time you play it, you're just going to, each level, you know, you're, oh, all right, but it's, nope. Every time the same people come from the same angles, it's just memorization.
Yep.
Yeah, gosh. And then they mix in those levels with, like, the overhead levels in Contra or, like, the maze levels just to kind of give you that breather from... Because as much as I love punching and scrolling, you know, that's kind of, like, the kind of could be one of the hits against the genre. It could be a little bit repetitive. You got to keep that gameplay fresh.
Yeah.
And, you know, give me a level where I'm, like, riding a car for a whole time with a machine gun. You know, give me that breather. Yeah. And that's why I like these like kind of like little mini gun segments here in the Punisher. Yeah, still, I mean, obviously I'm biased. Punisher's my favorite comic book character, and there hasn't been a ton of Punisher games over the years. There's been like maybe five or six.
I would say they're all pretty unique. Even like Punisher on the NES.
Oh yeah, the Punisher one. Yeah,
that was a weird side scroller where
it was kind of like Operation Wolf, but not. Yeah.
And it was just oddly better than it should have been.
And there's a guy playing saxophone in the background. You can, unfortunately, shoot him.
Yeah.
And he'll stop playing music.
Yep. It's like, hey, are you getting sick of the soundtrack for the game?
Kill the saxophone. One guy. I think you take a little health penalty when you do it. Yeah. But it's the only background music in the game. Oh, some nice jazz blues. And nope. You could end that if you want.
Nope.
Oh. Give this a couple more minutes here, and then we'll probably mix it up here.
Sounds like a plan.
But I love that Punisher game on Xbox and PS2. They got Tom Jane to voice him from just coming off the movie. And that was like a really hardcore action third-person action game. Really violent. It wears its M rating on its sleeve.
Yeah. It was good. Also, that is the best Punisher movie by far.
Which one was that?
Oh, the Thomas Jane. Yeah. I like the Stephen Ray Stevenson one. That's pretty good too, but only in doses, certain parts. But yeah,
which one was the Thomas?
Thomas Jane.
Is that the one where he like punched a guy like through his head?
Fights Kevin Nash as a Russian. That's the Thomas Jane one.
Basically, it's one where he is the skinny, dirty blonde guy.
Tells the story of the like where a gang.
Oh, yep, yep. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
A gang kills his entire family on like a family reunion.
Yep, yep. I know which one you're talking about.
Yep.
And there's so many parts about that movie that are insane. It's like the whole
they mix in the welcome.
Oh, sorry.
They mix in the welcome bank. Wow, welcome back, Frank. Comic book story art brilliantly. It's like one of the best Punisher story arcs out there, where he's got the roommate, the neighbors in the apartment building, he kind of forms the nice relationships with. That awesome battle of Kevin Nash. John Travolta is a villain.
Yep.
He's actually pretty good in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
What about the Dolph Lundgren?
I love the Dolph Lundgren one. Actually, that made
it is good.
It is actually pretty good, but in a cheesy, hokey, over-the-top way, actually.
Exactly.
I really love it. That's a good one where you, on a Friday night, have a few beers, some popcorn. Great popcorn movie.
Oh, yeah.
I never liked the show just because of the fact that I was just like...
Oh, I love the Netflix show.
I mean, the show itself was, you know, good as far as storyline and all that kind of stuff, but I just couldn't get, like, the guy that was playing the Punisher...
John Bernthal?
He just did not come across to me as... The Punisher.
I think at least when it came out, so I didn't watch it.
He grew
for a
into
different
it.
Reason. When he's in Walking Dead, I was like, no, he played a really good Shane, like a really good that character. And then when it came out on Netflix, I believe, I was just not interested. I'm like, oh,
I loved it.
No,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, like,
to me, he looks like he's short, and I don't see the Punisher as being a short person.
Well, Kingpin is a great villain in there too. The guy that plays him, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh yeah,
he is an amazing villain.
Oh. But no, but he's the villain in Daredevil, not in Punisher.
Oh, wait, well, I'm thinking season two of, or yeah, I want to say he's, because Punisher was a guest character in season two of Daredevil, so that's why I'm getting him all mixed up. Yeah. Jigsaw is the main villain in the Netflix series. And yeah, the guy that got to do Jigsaw is just phenomenal. But we should probably wrap it up here. Gosh, yeah, but Punisher, still a blast to this day. Let me pause it here. Oh, wait, actually, here's a boss fight. Why don't we do this boss fight real quick here? Like just Bonebreaker. Yes.
I remember that.
Gosh, yeah, I remember this boss fight in here. Yeah, random dude in a tank. Stealth cyborg. Why not? Gosh, Bonebreaker. Gosh. Probably my all-time favorite Punisher comic story arc is from the Max line. Garth Ennis did an amazing, like, five-year run on it, 60 issues of the 75 issues. The Mother Russia, that's my all-time favorite Punisher arc. I'd love to see that adapted into a movie.
Nice. Could be good.
Note to self, write the screenplay for it. Oh, gosh. But, yeah, that's it. Hunt down the trade for it. Punisher, Max, Mother Russia. Best Punisher story arc, hands down. Oh, well done, Joe. Well done.
Didn't even lose a life.
Oh, gosh. I was kind of nerding on it. I think I lost one or two there. But, yeah, there we go. We'll jump through this here, and then we will... get back to the gameplay, or get back to our other segments on the show here.
But, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, the Punisher arcade game, I actually found Capcom hasn't ported the arcade version of this. They only did two specific instances of it, where you can't download it as a game on consoles, on your Xbox or your Switch. Oh, wait, speaking of bonus stages, why don't we do this real quick? Well, Paul stepped out for a sec, so here we go, a nice bonus stage. Shoot the barrels. Wouldn't it be an arcade brawler without having a bonus stage, you know, like a Street Fighter, smash up the car. Here, we blow up barrels. And then see who has bragging rights. Should put the belt on the line for this one.
Yeah. Feel like you practiced.
No comment. Oh, gosh.
Oh, snap.
There we go. I'll
one
take
by
it.
One.
Well, actually, I think it said you won. Yep. Death on Rails. Their main poppy field.
15.
Oh gosh, well, we will pause it here and we will get back to the show. But yeah, that's the Punisher on Genesis, also in arcades. There's an arcade one-up like half cabinet that has four Capcom games on it. The Punisher is one of them, along with a couple of the Capcom fighting games. I got the one, the miniature version, which you put on your coffee table. It's just about this high. You put it on your coffee table. It has two joysticks. Maybe I can bring it in one day, but it actually has an arcade port of the original Punisher game on there, along with, I think, like Marvel vs. Capcom, the original Marvel superheroes, like two or three of the fighting games. I'm like, this is the only way I'll be able to play the Punisher arcade game in legitimate legal form. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But yeah. But
I would really like to put together one of those councils. You know, if you have somebody with a bandsaw that can cut out the frame and then you just get the decals and attach the joysticks, but actually have it be like the size of an actual arcade machine. And then you can just program it to have like 100 games on there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. They got those RetroPie consoles. I've seen those around. People, yeah, pretty much make an arcade cardboard or arcade stand. And they put like a computer underneath and they program it to as many games as they want.
Yeah. I would love to get one for the studio.
Oh, gosh.
But
yeah.
The thing is, finding somebody that'll cut out the frame for it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I know there's like online websites that'll do it, but they want
a lot of money for it.
That and to ship usually, it is arm and a leg.
Like the only place in town that I know that has one, oddly enough, is also Half Brothers.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, they got it. It's been in a couple locations in its entirety, but now it's like if you walk in the far left, and then they got the custom controllers, and you got to kind of maneuver through it a little bit. But
I know I've seen a couple places in Fargo that have them. Yeah, we need some of those here.
Finagle Stangle Signature Graphics. He has the original off-road.
Oh, Super Off-Road? Yeah.
Super Off-Road. Yeah.
Legendary
game. With the steering wheels.
So I have a game story about that that's very short. He knows I also love it. We went to Midwest Gaming Classic multiple years.
Oh, yeah. That, where I did that convention footage from Milwaukee on the show a couple times, yeah.
And they got all these things on free play. Me and these like two guys were literally playing it for like 2 to 3 hours or so. And it's like, I didn't think this game actually went that far.
And there's a ton of tracks.
Yeah, and sure enough, you know, we're like getting what we think is near the end, and sure enough, it's cutoff time for the day, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom.
Power goes out, and or they turn it off.
But my car was just maxed out, and we had this cutscene, and like it seems like there's a few races left.
You cannot be denied your Super Off-Road.
Oh, gosh. It was awesome, because that was always the big thing. It was like with the arcade version was the computer always got real good. But, you know, that's how you got outed of, you know, put more quarters in. Okay, and, like, when you're all good and you're actually beating the computer every time, it's a very hard game to progress in.
Now, before we get going too much farther along, you know, it's interesting we're bringing up places you just to go out and be socialized and looking for a great place to go out and socialize with your buddies. You can't go wrong with this next place, our friends at Albatross Indoor Golf.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up. Team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
Many thanks again to our friends at Albatross Indoor Golf Club in the Columbia Mall. They got all kinds of goodies if you want to go there. Especially
those simulators are flipping expensive. They're like $65,000 a piece or something.
Oh, really? If you want to get one for home, think about it. Oh gosh, well, save on those expenses by going to Albatross Indoor Golf Club. Yeah. Pay a small admission fee at the door.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Golf is always fun though.
Gosh, I only played real life golf once. That was atrocious at it. I forgot how hard it was to hit a golf ball since I was a kid at the driving range. And I definitely need some practice. So
yeah, I went over to just even the golf center to see about getting a pair of clubs, and they, you know, they like try to size you up and everything, and so they have you whack them at their simulator and everything, and I'm just hitting the ground. I'm like, sorry, I'm bending all of your golf clubs because I don't know what I'm doing.
It is a big learning curve at times, but honestly the best way is just to go to the driving range and it's like,
just get the swing down first.
Here's the ones that I don't use out of all my clubs. This is what you can use. Go through, because like,
yeah, you actually got some golf experience.
Yeah I was actually in a golf tournament once.
Yeah,
when I worked for corporate McDonald's. It was a
it was like a work retreat kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
or like a charity thing, maybe
charity.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. That's a great way, actually. A lot of I see so many charity golf tournaments, but it's kind of interesting. It kind of segues interesting next into our discussion segment of the show. You know, kind of like trips, things to do, types of games to do. So the theme for this week's discussion segment is, imagine, you know, you always hear the classic argument subject, you know, if you had one movie to watch and you're stuck on a stranded island forever, what would it be? Or you had one CD to bring with you, what would it be? So you know where this is going. If you had one video game to play for all of eternity and you're stuck on a stranded island, what would it be? So there's so many ways you could go with it. You could pick your favorite game of all time, but you know, you could beat it in 10, 20, 30 hours, however long it takes, and you know, all you have left to do is just replay it over and over, which sure you could do a couple of times, but or could you pick like maybe a lengthy career driving game which has all kinds of cars and options and courses on it, like a Gran Turismo or something, get some replay that way. Or maybe like a hardcore strategy game where each round is different with different opponents, all kinds of options. Or like a simple pick up and play like a puzzle or a pinball or a Tetris or a Mario, something like that. Or maybe a personal favorite that's completely off what I'm thinking of. So, Joe, you're the guest. I want to throw it to you first. What's your one game you would have with you on a stranded island?
So I would take the idea of favorite out of it, because just like you said, it's like you're going
to... Well, maybe not a favorite, but yeah.
Honestly, probably just SimCity.
SimCity. Actually, that's a game you could play endlessly.
Yep, and it's just like, how much could you build your empire? And it's just... like, I love Player Unknown Battlegrounds or PUBG, but I'm guessing I'm not getting internet service out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. You know, say you get one city, eventually, you know, you get the villain run-ins or the natural disasters, a tornado runs through, and, you know, that could be the end of it, or you could do a new city and start over with a whole different strategy in mind.
Yep.
Yeah. SimCity, certain one over there, there's been several SimCities.
So probably the most recent, otherwise it would be a game like Forza, but Forza kind of lost me in Forza Horizon.
Oh, I love Forza Horizon, yes.
I get it, it's like, let's make it like underground racing or Forza used to be a very specific game, like Gran Turismo, and then Horizon is like, let's make it arcadey.
Yeah.
Which is still, it's still fun. It's just like, I was the guy that liked it when they didn't have a reset button. The reset button would be like, you just get a rewind like 3-5 seconds. When they added that, I'm like, no, mm-hmm. It's not the same.
Not the same.
Same. Gotta learn from
I love things. The rewind button, man. I'm an abuser of it. I make sure to exploit the crap out of that thing. I try not to sometimes, but some games give you bonuses if you do a race without it. But it's, you know, for some of those hardcore sim racers, it's I'm not gonna lie, it is handy. Paul, game for you on a stranded island.
You don't know already?
Uh-oh.
Well, the way I see it, you know, if you're stuck on the stranded island, you know, I think of like Outcast, and you know, he has like Wilson, and so eventually, you know, the characters in that game would just become your friends. So I'm going to have to go with Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. There you go.
Oh, Lord.
It's a classic game.
Oh, Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball. So many options. So many options. And you'd play volleyball. And
I would have all the girlfriends.
Oh, gosh. Yep. All the girlfriends. Oh, man.
Nice serve.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Paul. Love it. For me, I'm going to go with a nerdy pick. You know, I love my pinball. There's a game called the Pinball Arcade, which has probably close to 100 authentic real-life replications of pinball tables on it. So I got a wide variety of pinball tables to play, and each one has tons of goals to achieve. And, you know, if you want to master each table, that'd be taking playing each one over and over again to learn all the little intricacies, all the rules, go for all the super hard objectives. And to do that 100 times over, I would get a ton of replay value out of that. That, and, you know, there's a ton of other stuff to do on the island. I would only need that pinball part of the day to maybe be just like a small 20 to 30 minute part of the day, and I'd be happy. So
another option would be like chess, where you just play chess against yourself.
Oh, well, video game chess, yeah, you got the computer.
No, you wouldn't even play the computer. You just play against yourself.
True. Yep. You could do that. You can do that. Or Paul, or you could have your own, have Wilson be your opponent.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. From Castaway. Oh, man. Castaway. What a movie that is. Holy crap. Mm. I haven't thought about that one in a while.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, you're on a stranded island. I mean, what movie would you think of?
Yeah.
Well, no, Lost, like, the TV show? Lost? Yeah. That's come on. One I that's see. a little more contemporary. Well,
they aren't alone.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, Lost is really good, but there's like, I think it's like the last season or two where it gets a little crazy.
Oh, last couple seasons that play.
I never even watched the first one.
Oh gosh.
It is oddly.
The first two seasons are like some of the best seasons of TV. But
yep. And then all of a sudden it gets to be.
Time travel.
Yeah.
They had mixed a lot of time travel on. In. And oh, the middle of that show was when the writer's strike happened, and that really threw things off. So, yeah. But yeah, we want to hear what you guys have to say to people listening, watching. What would be your one game you would take with you on a stranded island? We want to hear what you have to say in the live chat. We'll give you a shout-out on the next episode here. I guess I got one other thing here to bring up in the discussion segment. I just heard from Katie. She unfortunately can't make it. She had a lot of errands she was in the middle of. She'd let me know middle of the show if she would be able to make it for the last half, unfortunately. But I did have one thing I was saving for Katie in the opening news items, but I'll throw it on for you guys now. You guys aren't going to believe this. Paul, if you look on there, I think it's like the fifth option down. It's grayed out. You see that it says Xbox SB.
I can't read.
Oh, yeah, that one there. Before you un-eyeball it here, I'll just say there. You know how a lot of over time throughout the years, they'll do like a big game release. They'll kind of do like a special, like kind of decaled up version of a console for like, you know, for like Star Wars Kinect. They did like a Star Wars themed 360 that looked like an R2-D2. For like some of the Gears of War games, they had like the Gears of War blood colors with like the skull iconography on it. Things like that. Or, Joe, you know, with Halo 2, the original Xbox, they had the see-through translucent green Xbox.
Sure.
So,
oh, yeah, I used to own that.
There's one that's coming out today with the release of Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. We played the first one on the show. Do you guys remember that game? It's pretty much Super Smash Brothers, but with Nickelodeon characters. Mm-hmm. And so, with that said, here's a special console they're releasing alongside it. Only available at Best Buy. That's right. A SpongeBob SquarePants themed Xbox Series X with a copy of Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. And that's releasing, I think, today, if I got my info right here. Includes that also that SpongeBob controller and a digital download of All-Star Brawl 2. All for the low, low price of $700.
Woof-da.
Well, how much does it...
Call the wallet five? Police.
Is it $5?
How much does the console cost originally?
I think it's $600 for the Series X.
Okay. So it's an extra $100 just for the skin,
and you're getting a game with it too.
Oh
yeah, I'm guessing that's only going to be released in limited quantities, only at Best Buy. It's not like a national release, so I imagine that game that's probably going to get some collector's value.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. But I know Katie's a SpongeBob fan. I thought she'd get a kick out of that, so I'll make sure to say watch the 41-minute. Portion of the show here for a few minutes. So
here's the real question, Dale. When you press the power button, does it do like the...
Oh, yeah. You know, some of those like consoles do that. Like that. My Gears of War 360 actually does a little Gears of War like sound effect when you turn it on every time. Yeah, you know, it'd be a crime if it didn't.
Yep, because it's like SpongeBob. It's kind of a cooler one of others that I've seen. It's not something I really watch, you know, anymore, but I had some good childhood memories.
Yeah. I was kind of late on the ball on that one. I've seen some clips. I think I've shoulder-watched a couple times when watching some of our many nieces and nephews, Joe. But, yeah. Yeah.
Some reason, I could be wrong on this, but I want to say that SpongeBob, the illustrators, are the same ones that did Ren and Stimpy.
That would make sense because of the art style.
I have no idea, but I definitely see the similarities there. For sure.
It is a not PG show at times, and a lot of the times. And that's why it's like, you're on Nickelodeon, but like as I get older, I'm realizing what some of the things you're talking about, kind of like Ren and Stimpy. And yeah.
You revisit some of those older cartoons with an adult set of eyes, and you're like, wow, they snuck this into the show.
Yeah. It was either that or Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, Mike Judge. Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh. But I guess, you know, speaking of how Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 is a new release, some of the other new releases hitting over the next couple of weeks here. Outlast Trials on Xbox Series X, PS5, PC. It's a four-player version of Outlast. So Outlast is a very intense first-person survival horror game. This is four-player online horror. So that's been getting some buzz. Another horror game that's coming out here in just a couple of weeks is Alone in the Dark, a reimagining of the original Alone in the Dark. Kind of a lot of people consider it the original survival horror game because it preceded Resident Evil by a couple of years, but it just didn't have as much mainstream success. That's out on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Dragon's Dogma 2, sequel to a game that came out, I want to say, like 12, 13 years ago. Kind of an under-the-radar kind of cult hit that Capcom released. If you're into like those Monster Hunter type online games where you're teaming up with a party, like several characters take on like huge, gigantic monsters, like Godzilla-style monsters, and just pick away at them until they're fallen, this game may be up your alley. Rise of the Ronin. Paulus May, I kind of picked this out from the new releases for you. Ghost of Tsushima, that was a huge open-world samurai game that Sony put out on PlayStation 4 and later 5. This is kind of a similar game, but made by the same people who made the Ninja Gaiden games. So this is an open-world samurai RPG, Rise of the Ronin, on PS5. This is coming out in a little over a week. So I'm guessing Chris, we've had on the show a few times, the big PlayStation guy, but this game's on his radar. Then finally, out on that same day, March 22nd, Princess Peach Showtime on the Switch, a solo single-player adventure game with Princess Peach. It's only the second time that Nintendo's done one of these. You know, Luigi's had a handful of his own single-player games with Luigi's Mansion games. This is only the second time that Peach is getting her solo adventure game. It's out on the Switch, and she has all kinds of costumes to give her different powers. And actually, it sounds like it's going to be... getting some early good buzz, so we'll have to see how it delivers on its release date.
Okay.
So, with that out of the way, I believe we're ready for our second game of the show. And Joe, we're going to keep in the vein of the Punisher here. I got a special one. I'm going to boot it up here, actually. So, are you a fan of Streets of Rage?
You can say that.
While I get this set up, why don't you say why Streets of Rage is awesome?
Well, Streets of Rage is kind of an old-school early beat-em-up, kind of similar to Double Dragon and whatnot, people being a little more familiar with. But pretty much a side-scroller where you are, well, in the case of Streets of Rage, they don't really give a good backstory. You're just a lot of people fighting each other. And it's Rage.
Yep. Pretty much. I was trying to find the list of ninja games that came out in the 90s, because there's one that...
Shinobi?
It wasn't like two players, just one player, but you could go from like rooftop to rooftop. It was kind of like an RPG in a way. But you had to be really stealth, and then you'd sneak up on people, and you'd have to like... And if you got spotted, you'd like everybody would start coming after you. I can't remember the name of it, though.
Now, the only game that's really coming to mind like that would be...
Oh, Tenchu?
Solid, but yeah, Tenchu.
Let me look up Tenchu.
Yeah, that's ringing a bell, that stealth-based gameplay with ninjas before they really incorporate stealth and getting spotted and raising alerts, kind of like Metal Gear.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it would have been on the PlayStation. Let me see the gameplay.
But, yeah, so, Joe, this is a Etsy fan mod, or maybe not Etsy.
Yep, it's Tenchu.
Tenchu?
Yeah, that game was awesome.
And I think I've done a handful of follow-ups over the years. Not a ton, but a few. Like Tenchu Z, I think, was a more newer one, but... So, Streets of Rage, probably one of the kind of awesome series on the Genesis. Three installments. Another great... It was like the final fight for Sega Genesis. Their marquee side-scrolling brawler. They did three of them. The first two, especially, are very well-regarded. Two, a lot of people still consider one of the top fighting games of all time. So, on Etsy, I saw there was a ROM of this, and I was wondering, you know, on Etsy, you could probably find cartridges of these of a lot of fan mods. And sure enough, they had this. This is... The Punisher in Streets of Rage 2. So, found it off Etsy. It's pretty much, it's using the Punisher sprites that we just played in from the Punisher game on Genesis in Streets of Rage 2. So, I got that all started up, good to go, and we'll fire it up here. So, Streets of Rage 2 with the Punisher, and for Nick Fury is along for the ride also, and then for whatever reason, a questionable version of Bruce Lee and Arnold Schwarzenegger. AKA, they just use sprites from other games that look like them. So, here we go. And I'll let you two start it off here. Two players. Just go ahead and hit start there, Paul, when you're ready. Then, yeah, you got Nick Fury and Frank Castle. Mm-hmm. And then Bruce Lee, which is really just Fei Long from Street Fighter, yep, Super Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
And that Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that's, I'm trying to remember what sprite that's from. I want to say that's an enemy sprite from another game. But
yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to be Bruce Lee.
I'll be Nick.
Nick Fury. Bruce Lee, Fei Long, and Nick Fury. There you go. Get things rolling, yo. Stage one start. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, this is straight up Streets of Rage 2. And they actually give you unlimited lives in here. So, but you got their arsenal of moves. So, Joe, I think you could, if you want, do like Street Fighter type input sequences to do to do various Feilong or Feilong moves.
What am I swinging?
And then, Paul, I think the controls are similar to the Punisher on Genesis.
Oh, can we hit each other?
You may have friendly fire on. Yep. Oh, yep.
Okay.
Friendly fire is initiated, is activated.
Look at that. Ah! Stab the face. Ah.
And, oh, gosh. So is this a little bit of a mind trip, Joe, for playing? I know you played your fair share of Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing these characters modded into the game. Oh, man.
It's a little different. Kind of cool, though. I like how it lets me, like, mini-kick a million times and then finish them off. It was special. Instead of just, like, flicking them across the screen.
I just keep swinging this, like, whip or something.
Really sure must be Nick Fury's special attack.
That's mine.
There wasn't even any enemies.
I was holding down an A and B to see mine.
There wasn't even any enemies in the vicinity of Paul and Joe. Just, nope. Hey, Paul.
You asked me
your face meet my boot.
You asked me about special movement. I was like, I got to see.
Oh.
Do they have a grenade type thing if I jump and press AB, though?
You know what? You could try. I cannot tell you, though. I want to say it's still in here. Oh, wait. No, actually. Gosh. I think I got a note about it. No. There's a different way you throw grenades in here. They mixed it up a little bit from the console. From Punisher on the Genesis. And they gave it this weird animation where it looks like your guy is falling backwards. So I say maybe press away from your enemies and like B or A and B at the same time or A and C. So, but yeah, Streets of Rage. Oh my gosh. Paul, you ever play Streets of Rage games on Genesis over the years?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Can't go wrong with Punisher and Streets of Rage. What a combo.
Oh, yeah.
And have you either of you played Streets of Rage 4? The newer one that released about 4 or 5 years ago?
No.
Oh, gosh. Streets of Rage 4, they did the series well with that game. Yeah. They modernized the graphics a lot and kept the essence of the Streets of Rage gameplay while...
you keep rolling.
Yeah, I highly recommend. If no one here has played Streets of Rage 4, you got to hunt that game down. That is a classic.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's out on all the current systems. And they even added a bit of DLC to it. But
there you go.
Yep. Oh, my turn. Tagging in.
It's no Pit Fighter, but
it's no Pit. Oh, Pit Fighter. That's probably like one of the worst fighting games of all time. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh really?
Well, it kind of introduced those digitized character graphics that you know Midway made popular in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But their first time using them were in Pit Fighter, and that game was just a mess and a half.
Don't really remember it too much.
Yeah, it was garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. Yeah.
There was a lot of bad fighting games back in the day, though, to be fair.
Joe, you just kicked me in the face again. What's the deal?
Don't stand right behind me. The guy kicks.
Oh, gosh. Here's the evil, whip. The whip. I always called them the original Streets of Rage the Whip Sisters because there's one of the end of the level bosses was a pair of Whip Sister ninjas, as is what I would say. And yeah, they would. That was one that took some time figuring out. All right, I'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger. For whatever reason, he's throwing a Hadouken.
That is oddly ironic.
I'll take it.
Yep. I do like how he has, like, the Fist of Furies for punches and stuff, and then it's all quick.
B and C does a pose. Oh, wait. Joe, there's some turkey back there if you need to level up, yo. Oh, stage one clear.
Definitely a different take.
But yeah, you get... You know, again, you don't have to find this on Etsy. I think you could download it off... any questionable website.
That was quite the uppercut.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, that's pretty cool. You could charge up your moves almost here. Paul, all-time favorite brawler. Oh, German suplex. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoops.
Oh, gosh.
I guess I'm
hey, what's
trying,
a big
to,
idea?
Trying to let go of you?
Boom, neck breaker. You know, Streets of Rage 2 would definitely be up there. You know, I'm a sucker for those Turtles games, Turtles in Time, on Super Nintendo and the arcade. That would definitely be up there. Actually, Streets of Rage 4, actually. That may be a little bit of recency bias from a few years ago, but that is... That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, Streets of Rage 2, and then the Punisher one we were playing earlier. I'd say those would be my top three arcade brawlers.
I think I'll have to go with X-Men.
X-Men. Oh, that's another goodie.
It's a classic.
Played that on the show way, way back.
I think go back to the Simpsons arcade.
Oh, game. Yeah, Simpsons. Yeah, that's another oldie buddy goodie.
Yeah, the X-Men and Simpsons, they were like at the exact same time. It was weird. You're on one or the other.
Yep. And the X-Men, like, I think the only reason the Simpsons one took off a little bit better was because, like, the Simpsons wasn't a coin. Like, the X-Men one, you're given coin after coin after coin.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, it was still fun. Still went through it. But it was like, oh, no.
All right, maybe just another minute or two here, then we'll wrap it up here. I will say it's cool that there are a lot more recent games coming out on systems that try and capture the side-scrolling brawler gameplay, but now that, you know, the genre has evolved so much more with the way they incorporate attacks and the way you can kind of upgrade and level up your character as you go, so it's not just, you know, you got a couple of punches and kicks and maybe one special move, but you can actually increase your character's ability and keep the gameplay fresh for over the course of a few hours. Like there's Vendetta, there's the Takedown, there's a bunch of them out there.
Well, one of the reasons that X-Men was so fun is because, I mean, picking your character just for their special move. I mean, are you going to be Nightcrawler so you can do your BAMF, or are you going to be Colossus and, you know, just be destructive?
Hey, Dale.
Payback, yo. Oh, man. Oh, hey. Oh, shoot. Oh, man.
I don't know how they're getting hit by that. He's really telegraphing it.
Yeah. No. He's just chilling. Oh, man. Yeah, Streets of Rage 2. Yeah, I played this. There's like 8 levels in this game. It's huge. It's mammoth. I think when we were originally going to play a month ago, I threw this in for, I was all throw in for 10 minutes. I ended up playing it for like 2 hours and going through damn near the entire game.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it's yeah, some of the best, one of the best arcade brawlers out there, but with all kinds of options. All right. So we will wrap it up with that and end of the area there. So what do you guys think of that crazy fan mod hack game, The Punisher in Streets of Rage 2? That's a little different, huh?
Yeah, I'd say better than the original a little bit. Well, you know, in the sense if you're looking for something different.
Yeah, so gosh, so yeah, all kinds of different options, all kind of a nice way to play it. You may have to do some searching out there to find it, but yeah, Punisher and Streets of Rage 2, there you go. Oh, man, good stuff. Before we get moving along here, too, we got one more sponsor we'd like to give a shout-out to, and that's our friends from Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemptionshield.com.
That's right. If you go to gfbestsource.com on the bottom of the homepage and click the shield to order today, save 10% with the GFBS code. All right. So a couple of segments here to wind down here for the day. We got our GFBS plugs. I'd like to give some shout out to all the many shows you can find on Grand Forks Best Source. Make sure to check out this week's Dirty Thursday from yesterday, where River City Speedway owners Brad Singh and Darren Evavold are on the show to preview the 2024 track schedule. Also, make sure to check out John Roberts' interview this past Monday with Mayor Brandon Bochensky to go over all the latest happenings and concerns of the community. Finally, check out yesterday's Fork Sports Highway, where Monty, Bill, Raven, and Supersonic Steve go over UND Hockey's sweep of Western Michigan, hype up the UND Hoops Conference playoffs, debate Anthony Edwards' questionable, maybe, not maybe, bathroom breaks, dissect another Caitlin Clark record, and so much more. These are just a few of over a dozen shows we do every week on GFBS, and you can find them by searching GFBS or Grand Forks Best Source on your favorite podcast or social media app. All right, final segment of the show, guys. Quick takes, just random gaming or non-gaming things you've been doing lately or got going on this weekend, big weekend plans, funny anecdote of the week. Joe, you're the guest this week. We'll start it off with you. Quick takes.
I've been playing a little bit of the same old games, PUBG, Wreckfest, Ultimate Chicken Horse. I've been playing too much new. I did buy a game, though. Did you check your Xbox?
Yes, I did install it. I did not have a chance to play it. Why don't you enlighten us?
It's just kind of one of those old side scrollers, but it's like the bike, like do you remember like the bike one where you used to go left to right, or like some sort of like you'd have
biker
like
mice from Mars, I think that was one.
Yeah, like you'd have lasers or some sort of basic weapon, get better weapons later. It's kind of the same idea. And I was like, this looks kind of like a weird game that Dale would love, but I'll buy it too. And yeah, it's just kind of the same thing, but very, very new graphics.
I think it's called Speed Rats
Max or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because of how they do, like, reversing. It switches the actual bike path, and your bike itself is, like, you can armor it up more so you can just kind of ram into things. And I'm like, well, you're making it so you can have more health just to just drive. I'm like, that's so weird.
You get rewarded for demolishing stuff.
Yeah, it's very odd. So,
oh, gosh. Yeah, I installed it. Have yet to play it. You made some good headway into it?
Just, like, an hour or so.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm stoked to try it out. I think it's cool, always staying with the favorites. PUBG, anything new on that end that's been interesting in the game to report?
A lot of shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. New maps and stuff?
Yep, new maps. They added different ranked and actually console tournament series lately.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, me and my friends have been doing some of that, and that's been kind of fun.
Wow. So you got a regular crew you play with?
Usually, yeah. Yeah. Usually it's almost terrible, but when we play, there's like up to give or take 10 of us. It's just like, I call next.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Was you do quads then or duos?
Usually, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
At most, there's like six on, but it's usually pretty healthy.
There you go. Anything else going on? I had weekend plans, anything to report?
Nothing too crazy. Probably play that other game here a little bit more. Get into that a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, Speed Rats?
Yep.
There you go. Cool, cool. Paul, quick ticks.
Yeah, think I should, you know, maybe bring that gaming computer home, hook it up, check out that if they have it on Steam, that Final Fantasy VII. That'd be pretty cool to get into.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I was just thinking about too is I'm surprised that they don't have it already, you know, with all these like retro games and everything, you know, with the VR. Like, why don't they have Star Fox on VR?
Oh gosh,
it'd be a good one.
Unless you go into a seizure, but
and because I've played a couple. I won't even pretend to remember the name. So it was kind of like it's a shooter. But what's that one that every time
like a Vive or MetaQuest or
it might be one of those, but Super Hot.
Super Hot. Yep. Really reminds me. First person shooter with wireframes.
Yep. At least the graphics and stuff remind me a lot of Super Hot. It's not the same premise where, like, you know, when you're shooting and stuff, it slows down. Or whenever you're doing an action, so moving right, doing this, doing that, it's in action. But that was a really fun game.
I mean, they have first person for Zelda in VR now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which it looks.
Oh, really. Yeah. I think they've done, like, some fan mods. Or?
Yeah. I mean, it looks honestly really boring, but. Yeah. Something like Star Fox, I mean, I think that would be a trip. Or, I mean, you could Panzer Dragon, you know, that would be a cool one. Because that's actually one where you shoot forward and backward. So you could be like, you know, looking.
Come on, Sega, get on it. You got to put these classics in VR.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't. I don't even know how to navigate Steam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so many options. Well, search bar is your friend in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could search by genre and.
They kind of got it set up like a streaming platform to some degree. It's like, hey, if you like action games, okay, scroll more down, RPG games, scroll more down, and or like sub-tabs, because they'll do things depending on of the time of year, I hate to say it.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I might as well be playing them and streaming them. We have all the technology here to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we could be like one of the best streamers on Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Possible. Possible.
I'll be the next PewDiePie or whatever the frick that guy's name is.
PewDiePaul.
There you
PewDiePaul.
Go.
PewDiePaul. Woo! Rolling down marketing bucks. PewDiePaul's in the house. What's up, chatters?
You know what? It actually might work because it would probably show up on like the search engine when they're trying to look for PewDiePie, yeah. And then it would just show up as an
autofill.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, PA comes before PI, so it was meant to be.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Anything else going on, Lee, for quick takes, Paul?
Nah, no, nothing I can think of.
Right. And I guess for myself, I tried playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe online for the first time, at least on the Switch. I did it before on the Wii U many years ago. I met a couple of people I knew, and I haven't played online games in a while. I just kind of threw a random thing out on a random chat. I was like, you guys want to try Mario Kart 8 online, see how it works? And it actually works surprisingly well. The voice chat on Nintendo Switch is a joke, though. You got to use an app to do it. It's not like you plug a headset into the controller like on Xbox or PlayStation and it works. So we didn't even bother downloading the Nintendo Online app to do voice chat in. We just had a Discord voice chat channel open. We just used our phones that way. That worked way better. We did a bunch of races online. It worked surprisingly well. Demon's Tilt. I played it briefly once on the show, probably one of my favorite single standalone video game pinball experiences. I finally did what I thought was the impossible achievement in that game. I got the final achievement in that game. We all know achievements on Xbox games or trophies in PlayStation games. You gotta unlock a bunch of objectives to clear all the achievements in the game to kind of quote-unquote beat it. And there's this last one in this pinball game. It's pretty much beat all 20 table goals. And, you know, we all know how pinball works. You got three balls. You get as much of a high score, get as far as you can in it. And, sure enough, I was slowly taking away at all the goals. I was getting nervous. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to beat it. And little by little, I beat that damn last goal. And it took about 17, 18 minutes. And I guess I was just on that day. I did it all on just the first freaking ball. So I'm giving myself a round of applause for that game. I worked 3 years to beat the damn mode on Demon's Tilt complete. Huzzah. Yeah, so there you go. That's my quick takes. It's gonna be kind of a wing it weekend. I may try and do some of that Mario 10 activities, maybe a Mario Kart tournament. We shall see where the weekend takes me this weekend.
Okay. Actually, via questions of gaming, that brings me up to a Paul question. So via Mortal Kombat, I remember we kind of talked about it, not Mortal Kombat 1, but the one before it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of unideal in many aspects. Have you played the Mortal Kombat 1 yet?
Yeah, I went through the story mode, which another thing, I paid for it. I might as well play it. I mean, they're adding new characters, which...
You just added John Cena?
Yeah.
Or Peacemaker?
Yeah, it's the thing that I've seen, you know, some YouTube videos of, like, the brutalities and stuff now, and I'm like, okay, those are pretty badass. But the story mode that I went through, I thought 11 was a lot better.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, it looks like the play control on this one is starting to get quite up there. I mean, because they keep adding, like, new moves and new features and stuff.
Okay. Because that was it was one before 11, so 10 in theory, or I think they had some special title. That was kind of like, all right, I hate that you changed Kung Lao and Liu Kang's move around a little bit, because those are my favorites.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11 was a previous one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
well,
like...
the one previous to 11 is what I meant.
Oh,
the Mortal Kombat 1, I don't like the character changes that they made. I think they're kind of silly, and I don't like the stages because they're not like, it's like going to a garden. It's like that's not Mortal Kombat.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
because like generally it's been good changes, but I remember 11 I didn't buy for a handful of reasons.
Yeah, both of them have their pluses and minuses, but I think they really dropped the ball on a lot of things on there.
It's too bad.
At least a good story mode.
The story mode was stupid.
Dang, multiverses.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Oh, man. Shoot. Well, at least it got some cool DLC characters. Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right.
I would say, you know, from some of the clips that I've seen, it is kind of getting more of the, like, the traditional kind of, like, Mortal Kombat 2 of just running combos on people.
Okay.
You know, you have your certain set of moves, and if you can do them in, you know, unison, you kind of dominate, and you learn the patterns.
You know, I'm guessing they still have the breaker in there. Like, you get three breaks, so you can break out of their combo, but you don't know if they're good or not. So it's like, all right, should I let them get one in? Ooh, okay, now I got to really be timing these later.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's, to me, like, what Mortal Kombat went away from, like, Street Fighter and stuff, when they started putting all the memorization in, of like, no, we're not going to have a 2-3-button combo. We're going to have, like, how do you feel about 8 to 15? I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, this isn't Killer Instinct.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So many was it. Ultra Combo Breaker! 88,000-hit combo deluxe. Yep. Oh, gosh. Well, unless you guys got anything else here, I'm about ready to wrap things up. Joe, thanks again for coming on, man. This has been awesome. Glad to have you on the show. Glad we're able to revisit a favorite there, Punisher.
Happy to come.
Yes, yes. Well, we want to give many thanks again to today's sponsors at Redemption Shield, River Cinema 15, and the Shire Bar and Grill and Albatross Indoor Golf. Many thanks again to Joe for returning on the show and tearing up one of our favorites. Many thanks to Piercingly Punishing Paul. And while she's not here, she's here in spirit. Many thanks to perfectly pleasant producer Katie. And a very hearty thank you all for tuning in and having us part of your weekend. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share Midwest Super Pixel Pros and Grand Forks Best Source on all the social media and podcast apps. We will see you all in 2 weeks, where we will be revving up our engines with a new driving game debuting on the show for the first time. You do not want to miss it. Until then, thank you all, and have a great weekend, yo! Peace out!